In space, the rotating Earth increases in size. In gold lettering, the name Universal crosses the center of the spinning globe. A universal picture. Universal presents a series of grainy World War II images. Hitler and Hess, a swastika, arms raised in a Heil Hitler salute, soldiers goose-stepping, figures on horseback. Superimposed in gold lettering over continuously changing images of Nazi Germany and scenes of war. Rock Hudson, George Peppard, Nigel Green, Guy Stockwell. Tobruk. Images of tanks, fires raging, figures floundering. With Jack Watson, Norman Rossington, Percy Herbert, Liam Redmond, Heidi Hunt, Leo Gordon, Robert Walders, Anthony Ashdown. Kurt Lowens, Henry Rico Catani, Peter Coe, Lawrence Montaigne, Robert Hoy, Phil Adams, Ronnie R. Rondell. Further grainy, indistinct images, a line of soldiers, their guns held upright, a German bomber, silhouetted figures, a wounded soldier being given assistance, a collection of armed men in uniform, an anti-tank gun pointing upwards. Blotchy, unclear images of people fleeing. Two men with their arms raised and hands behind their heads, figures marching in line. Produced by Gene Corman. Laden with equipment, some soldiers trudge on, a figure with arms raised in capitulation. Directed by Arthur Hiller. A map of Northern Africa.
North Africa, September 1942. The darkest hours. The world watches as Adolf Hitler's high-stepping Africa Corps sweeps onward to Egypt and the Suez Canal, while the British, their strength dissipated by defeat, make a desperate attempt to regroup at El Alamein. 2 years have passed since the fall of France. France, now officially neutral, lives under Nazi domination. And the French city of Algiers is a port of embarkation for British, Italian, and German soldiers caught and interned by the French.
A truck packed with soldiers, disheveled in appearance and gloomy of demeanor, driven by a uniformed, helmeted, middle-aged man. It is night, a checkpoint and barriers. Ahead of the truck are two motorbikes. Their drivers stop to talk with the guards.
Les prisonniers pour la déportation.
The guards pull back one of the barriers and stand to one side, allowing the motorbikes and truck to pass through and drive on. The small procession passes alongside a rusting ship and stops at a flight of metal steps leading to the deck. The motorbike riders turn around, pass the truck, and drive away. The driver of the vehicle gets out and salutes a waiting guard.
Alors, ce sont les déserteurs italiens, il faut faire attention. Restez à la porte.
Bien, mon lieutenant.
Bon.
He then ascends the flight of steps to the deck to salute a waiting man in dark uniform.
Bonsoir, Captain.
Bonsoir, lieutenant. Alors, allons-y. Allez là-bas. Vite, vite, dépêchons-nous. Allons-y, avancez. Dépêchons-nous.
Armed guards chivvy the prisoners out of the back of the van. They file out one by one and stand in a line. Most are middle-aged, in shabby military dress, and sunburnt in appearance. They stand with their back to the ship.
D'accord, lieutenant. Envoyez-les.
Faites-les monter à bord!
Allez!
Watched closely by the guards, the prisoners proceed in line to the steps. They all mount the steps and come face to face with the uniformed man at the top.
Dépêchez-vous! Allez, allez! Un Canadien, cinq Italiens.
Allons, dépêchez-vous.
Allez, plus vite, plus vite.
In the darkness, alongside the ship, a middle-aged man is swimming, his frog suit covering much of his head.
C'est un ordre, mon capitaine.
Très bien, lieutenant. Passez une bonne soirée.
Le logement vous attend. Rien que de première classe, la porte de ce bateau.
Naturellement.
As the man stops swimming alongside the ship, he is joined by two other, similarly attired swimmers. Below deck, the prisoners are led through a maze of corridors. They pass through in single file, a guard at the front holding a rifle and checking over his shoulder on them. There is also a guard further back. Finally, they come to a standstill in a cell-like room.
Amusez-vous bien, mes amis. La guerre est finie pour vous, hein?
In the water close to the vessel, the three frogmen continue to keep to the shadows, looking around them cautiously. They reach a ladder nearby. One of the men bobs up, takes hold of the ladder, and starts to ascend. At the top, he is illuminated by a bright light. He reaches up and grabs hold of a thick rope and hoists himself up. Wrapping his legs around the rope, he maneuvers his way along, pulling one arm in front of the other. Eventually, the man reaches the vessel. In the water, the other two frogmen reach the point directly below. The man clambers onto the railings, climbs up, and then over onto the deck. Down below, the other two wait, looking up. Up above, the man uncoils a rope and throws it over the side. It lands with a plop in the water. One of the men swims towards the rope. On deck, the man ties the rope securely. Elsewhere, a lone man walks along the deck. The frogman takes a knife from its case and puts it in his mouth whilst he continues to work on the rope. Down below in the water, the other two frogmen attach a load to the rope which has been thrown down to them. Above, the frogman starts to haul up the load. He lifts a long, narrow bundle onto the deck and puts it down. The other two frogmen hoist themselves up on the rope. The bundle is slit open to reveal weapons. Another frogman reaches the railings at the top and climbs over. He sets to work immediately as the contents of the bundle are distributed. On the deck, the lone man continues to walk, looking about him. One frogman then throws a stick grenade into a large funnel. The men run as a fireball erupts.
Les chaudières!
Au feu! Au feu!
Arrêtez!
The men reach the prisoners. The frogmen have weapons drawn.
Good name, you will come with us, Major.
A dark-haired man looks over from the corner.
Aren't you forgetting this is neutral territory?
The leading frogman gives the signal to one of his accomplices. The man rushes over, pointing his weapon at the Major. The Major gets up, his back to the wall. He looks over at the other two grim-faced men, raises his eyebrows, and acquiesces. Stepping down, he's led off by the frogman. He's pushed down the corridor, and the prisoner's door is slammed shut. The frogman and the Major proceed along the corridor. Whilst hoses are used to put out the fire on deck, the three frogmen and the Major run across to the railings. The frogmen fire at those around them in order to secure their path. At the side of the vessel, amidst a volley of shots, the Major dives overboard into the blackness below. He is followed by the frogmen. Shots are fired back up at the deck and one man falls overboard. The Major attempts to swim away but is overpowered by two of the frogmen. From a nearby motorboat, shots are fired, and shots are fired from on deck.
Ragnar, come in the air!
The frogman and the Major make for the motorboat. The Major is hauled over the side into the boat, followed by the frogman. Shots continue to rain down from above. The motorboat departs. As the motorboat gains distance, one of the frogmen lowers his gun. The Major is laid out, his eyes shut.
He's dead as bad.
Bad. Where is the shot?
They look down at the Major, whose head moves slowly. Daylight, a vast expanse of sea. The motorboat slows down as it reaches a small silver seaplane, its propellers whirring. The boat draws up alongside an open hatch, and the passengers get ready to transfer to the plane. The frogman and the Major step from the boat into the plane. The hatch is then closed, and the plane gathers speed for takeoff. The plane soars into a blue sky. Inside are the frogmen and the major. The three frogmen are now in khaki uniforms. A gun and silenced pistol are directed at the major, who sits huddled in one corner. One man moves closer to the major.
Sire, we have no tea. Perhaps you'll settle for chocolate.
The fair-haired man takes the lid from a flask and pours the chocolate into it. He hands it to the major.
Not even name, rank and serial number?
The major stares impassively.
Very well. Name, Donald Craig. Rank, major. Long-range tested group. Serial number 762513.
He unzips a pocket.
Born, Montreal. Studied topography in Quebec, London. Did graduate work, Royal School of Mines, Kensington. Worked 3 years for Standard Oil.
He lights a cigarette.
Shall I continue, Major?
What is my mother's name?
Elizabeth. Father John Foster Craig, retired, lives in Vancouver. Your reluctance to talk is understandable. If I had been forced to escape across 300 miles of enemy-held desert, and if after all of that I had been captured by French authorities, I too would be embarrassed.
Herr Hartmann, unser Jagdschutz ist hier.
As the men look out of the window, Major Donald Craig sees a chance to seize an idle silenced pistol. He makes a grab for it.
Very British of you, Major. Before you go any further, take a look at your escort. I'm sure you can recognize an English fighter when you see one.
The man doesn't bother to turn round to face the Major, who now creeps forward to a window in the plane. Alongside their plane, he sees another small military craft, its propeller whizzing. The Major looks back at his captors.
Who are you? Special Identification Group.
Saji. Thought they were all...
Jews, Major. Yes, we are. German Jews, serving with the British. However, as Germans, we still have our uses.
Major Craig sighs.
The French will think this was a Nazi raid.
As he leans forward, the SIG man holds up his gun.
Have more respect for the enemy, Major.
The plane flies over vast expanses of desert, then descends over a small military camp in the middle of some scrubland. A makeshift runway comes into view and the plane makes to land. To one side of the runway is a series of trucks, on the other, a small shelter and palm trees. A group of soldiers gawps at the plane as it lands.
What's all this? Have you seen a ready airplane before? Can't get on with it!
Two SIG men jump out of the plane onto the runway, followed by Major Craig. A man in military uniform hurries over to them.
Lieutenant Boyden, signals. Welcome to Kufra, Major, such as it is. Colonel Harker is expecting you.
I would hope so, Lieutenant. I would certainly hope so.
Yes, of course. Come along then. The Colonel's waiting.
Lieutenant Boyden leads the three men to an area nearby, sheltered by palm trees. Water gushes from a showerhead. Colonel Harker is soaping himself and showering. The group stops before him.
Colonel Harker, sir. Major Craig and Captain Bergman reporting.
Oh, thank you, Boyden.
Captain Bergman.
Hello, Craig. Good of you to come. I'll get right to it. Some time ago, you submitted a plan to staff outlining a proposed raid on the German fuel bunkers at Tobruk.
In its infinite wisdom, staff turned my plan down.
Things do have a way of changing, though, don't they, Major? Rommel is 90 miles from Suez. Every shell, every gallon of petrol he gets has to come 300 miles from Tobruk. The RAF is doing its best, but still too much is getting through. So we're going to have a go at Rommel's source of supply. Did I say something to, provoke humor?
Staff has a genius for sitting on its brains and coming up with perfect hindsight.
Would you care to expand on that?
When I submitted the plan, we could have blown up their fuel bunkers with a handful of men. How in the hell are we supposed to get through their defenses now?
Drive through, Major. Disguised as prisoners of war, guarded by Captain Bergman's personal Africa Corps. The plan is still basically yours, but now it will be maximum effort. Land, sea, and air.
Colonel, could you direct me to the nearest bus stop?
The Colonel, bare-chested, leads Captain Bergman and Major Craig to a nearby map on a stand.
We're here. To Brook here. Your primary responsibility is to route our convoy through 800 miles of the worst desert the Sahara has to offer, right into the back door of Tobruk. And that is why we went to so much trouble, and it was no lark, you know, Major, to bring you halfway across North Africa.
I didn't ask for the trip, Colonel. I've been here before.
Precisely. Staff believes that your practical knowledge of the terrain is essential to the success of our mission. That is your job, Major. Ours begins when we get there. After we've knocked out their harbor gun installations, we link up with naval assault troops, destroy the fuel bunkers, and evacuate by sea. Their heavy guns are here at Mercer Cove.
It's suicide.
It's orders.
How many days do we have?
8.
Impossible.
Impossible or not, it will be done. And on schedule. Do I make myself clear, Craig?
Welcome aboard, Major Craig. We don't get many volunteers.
Colonel Harker comes closer to Major Craig.
Keep your eyes and ears open around the Jews. Little trust's all right, but there's no point in overdoing it. 6 years in Palestine taught me that. And for your information, I'm the genius with perfect hindsight.
I never doubted it, Colonel.
We leave in 1 hour. Lieutenant Boyden will see to your needs. Oh, Major Craig. Don't let personal differences of opinion interfere with our operation.
I understand, Colonel. But I'd like you to bear one thing in mind, when and if we reach Tobruk. My mother didn't raise any heroes.
Two men apply a stencil of a palm tree and swastika to a truck door.
A ruddy work of art, mate, even though I do say so myself.
Save the Jerry's the trouble of repainting if we're taken.
Now, that's a cheering thought. Handsome.
Come on, come on. Get cracking. Never get the Victoria Cross for admiring yourselves.
It's Charing Cross we're after, sir. I think Dolan's feeling a touch of the sun, sir, Major.
You'll be feeling a touch of my boot if you don't opt to. This is Libya, not London.
Two trucks approach.
What the ruddy hell?
The two open-top trucks are filled with armed soldiers. They stop at the compound.
Up there, all! Oh, sit down!
The men leap out of the trucks.
Antreten! Back, back!
They assemble in two rows.
Abteilung! Still! Stand! Oberleutnant, angetreten.
Cool, I get a cold feeling down the back of my neck just looking at him.
What kind of blatant mission are we going on anyway, sir?
You'll know when you're supposed to. Not before.
Meaning you don't know either, eh, Sergeant Major?
All right, all right.
What is this? Get a move on, all of you. Come on now.
Sergeant Major.
Sir!
Do you have your orders regarding my men?
We do have no dealings with you, SRG, unless otherwise instructed. Sir!
See that those orders are complied with, Sergeant Major.
Sir! Abteilung! Au! Citizen!
Taking orders from a ruddy crowd. What's this bleeding war coming to?
If my father in Tel Aviv could see me here now, fighting for the British, he would take back my bar mitzvah.
War and politics, Monfeld. They always mix.
Well, just the same, if he ever finds out, he'll give me another bris.
Well, now we know how the Italians must feel with their German allies, huh?
And the English will throw us to the wolves just as quick.
If we let them. Get them in ready, Sergeant.
Hey,
small plane gathers speed on the runway and takes to the air, leaving a cloud of dust in its wake. Various trucks form a convoy and set off from the compound. Some of the trucks are open-topped, others open at the sides. All are filled with military personnel. Major Craig is in one of these. The Sergeant Major and Colonel Harker are at the back of another truck, along with their team.
You've got bullets in that thing, mate. Talkative bleeder, ain't he? We're supposed to be prisoners, Alfie. You know the orders. No fraternizing.
Who's fraternizing? Only asked him if he's got bullets in that chopper. I don't want him to take his play acting too much to heart. Ooh. An opportunity, he says.
Who says?
The judge. I'm giving you a chance to serve your country and to come back to society as a respectable citizen.
God bless.
You wouldn't want to be back in London, Alfie, not with all them bombs the Jerry's are dropping.
I'd do us a favour. All they ever hit is hospitals and churches. They wouldn't hit Brixton Prison in 100 years. Cool. It ends our thoughts.
The line of trucks makes its way across the flat, arid desert, the tyres leaving evidence of their route in the sand. Presently, the terrain becomes more undulating, but there is nothing as far as the eye can see but desert. In due course, the route becomes hilly. Alfie.
Oi! It's like a bleeding roller coaster!
The convoy sends up clouds of dust and sand. After another expanse of flat desert, their route again becomes more rocky with sparse vegetation. Sand billows. In due course, the convoy of vehicles grinds to a halt and the engines are turned off. The men spill out of the van, carrying down their provisions. Lieutenant Moonfelt walks forward purposefully.
Faulkner! Moon! Kommen Sie!
Enemy column! Tanked!
The men rush forward and scramble up a mound of sand and rock to look across to where the enemy has been sighted. Harker and Bergman survey the area with binoculars.
Italian, sir.
A convoy of tanks and trucks.
Huh. No flanking scouts. If we were an attack force, they'd have little chance.
They should clear us by 1,000 yards.
Unless they alter direction. Lieutenant Boyden?
Yes, sir.
I want every man armed and ready.
Sir.
Boyden gives a sign to Sergeant Major Tyne, who mobilizes the men. They all make a rush for the trucks and grab their weapons. Guns are loaded. The men then run back down to assemble in orderly fashion and await further instructions. They all advance up the hill, lie down on the ground, and watch the convoy of trucks and tanks as it approaches on the flat ground at some distance below. Harker, Craig and Bergman look on as the tanks rumble forward. The Italian flag is clearly visible on the side of them. Alfie.
You know, when you come to think of it, Brixton Prison's really a nice place.
You're getting soft in the conk, Alfie.
Walls 8 feet thick, a regular bleeding bomb shelter. Well, if I could get my hands on that judge. Sending innocents to the slaughter.
Innocents? Oh, I'm aching behind.
The men wait, nestled amongst the shrubs, rocks and sand, armed and ready. From their viewpoint, just below the top of the mound, the enemy tanks become increasingly clear as they make their way through the sandy terrain.
Oh,
tanks then come to a halt, and the vehicles stop too. Uniformed men jump down. Craig.
Well, the whole damn Sahara, and they have to stop here.
Night is falling. Clusters of men set to work noiselessly on security arrangements for the coming hours. They rig up stands on the sand, to which guns are attached. These are positioned at regular intervals, pointing towards the enemy settlement. All is quiet on the Italian side. A lone soldier wanders around the cluster of tanks and trucks. Another, next to a tank, lights a cigarette. Their cargo lies strewn around the area. A small fire burns, sending a plume of smoke into the air. The Allied unit lies just below the brow of the mound, their weapons aimed towards the enemy. All are silent. All look intently at the scene ahead of them. Suddenly, a man comes running up the mound to where the Allies lie. It is Sergeant Major Tyne, in beret, his gun at the ready. He stops alongside Harker and Bergman.
What is it, Sergeant Major?
More company, sir. Over there, on the other side.
They direct their binoculars to another convoy.
They must be German. The Italians are too fond of comfort to travel this late.
Harker turns back to look at the Italian side.
Their sentries haven't seen them yet. Take what men you need, Bergman, and make sure they don't.
Bruckner, come and see.
What do you estimate the range?
2,000 yards, maybe a bit less.
Twice the effective range of our mortars.
I'll get the rangefinder. And prepare mortars.
Craig runs down the hill. Down below, guns are being set up, positioned to strike. Boyden passes from one group of men to another, checking on progress. Alfie approaches him.
Everything all right? Everything okay?
Lieutenant Boyden, sir, if you don't mind me asking. What's the old man up to now, then?
A lovely scheme, Alfie, a lovely scheme. He's going to stir up a bit of fighting between the Italians and the Germans.
Well, how's he going to do that, then, sir?
First, we open fire on the Germans. Then our mortars hit the Italians. Now, the Italians see the German column and vice versa. So both of them get to thinking it's the British on the other side that's doing all the firing, you see?
And they get themselves a bloody battle going.
Right.
Blimey, do you think we'll make it, sir?
No any good prayers, Alfie.
Alfie stares ahead as Boyd moves on. Bergman and Bruckner infiltrate the Italian camp. Bergman gives a sign to Bruckner, hiding behind a tank, to join him. He is quickly joined by other men. Bergman points and sends the men onwards. The four men run from the Italian camp, keeping together, occasionally looking behind them. They arrive back at the camp.
Range?
800.
Sergeant Major?
Sharp.
Tell Mr. Boyden to open fire.
Sharp.
Tyne hurries off. Mortar attacks from both the Italian and German sides.
Gentlemen, it's time we were moving.
The mortar fire comes thick and fast, with fireballs lighting up the night sky and clouds of smoke. There are casualties on both sides. Amidst the exchange of fire, the Allied troops reload their vehicles, and in the small valley between the two raised areas of the desert where the enemy lines are camped, the convoy sets off. Daytime. The convoy continues its journey across the scrubland.
It's like a bloody furnace!
Cheer up. It'll get worse.
Craig and Boyden both wear protective goggles as they sit in an elevated position at the front of the convoy. Above them, the sun shines down relentlessly. The convoy continues to make its way across the desert. Craig studies a map and indicates that they should be heading towards the right.
What the devil are you doing? We were making excellent time on the flats. Why head into this area?
We left our calling card back there in the wadi, Colonel. It won't take the Germans long to find it.
Exactly why speed is our best advantage.
They know that, too. That's why they'll be spending the major part of their time scouting Calancho Flats while we cut through here.
Do you realize what you're suggesting, Major?
Yes, sir.
But it's a German minefield.
That's right, where they're not likely to look for us.
I don't like it. We're turning around.
Do that, Colonel, and you'll reach Tobruk as a real prisoner.
Colonel Harker stares ahead grimly. They reach an area evidently the scene of a camp at some point previously. Abandoned materials, equipment, and old tyres are scattered about. Around them are undulating sandy slopes. The convoy has stopped.
It's out of the question.
Colonel Harker, you went to an awful lot of trouble to Shanghai me in on this mission. If you're not going to follow my advice, what the hell am I doing here?
You can't take heavy transport through that without mine detectors.
Why are you telling me? You brought me along to tell you.
All right, Major. Tell me.
Thank you, sir.
Craig leads the way.
Bring up that half-track!
This time of the year, the wind is from the south. It blows for months at a time, forming a sand cushion at the base of the slope. By keeping to the slope, the deep sand will act as a pillow, dispersing our weight.
Our heaviest piece is a half-track. If it can make it, the others can.
No, the lorry wheels would bog down, but the half-track, with its treads, can maneuver.
But how do you propose to get the lorries through?
This is an old minefield, Colonel. The sand covering the mines has had plenty of time to settle. By keeping to the slopes, I'll be able to see the depressions over the mines.
So you intend to clear the way and Pied Piper us through?
That's right.
Some edge done?
Sir!
Rig a drag from the lorries with benches and camouflage netting to wipe out our tracks.
Sir!
It may not be so simple. The Germans often set their mines in tandem. Try to move one and you can trigger a dozen. It's very effective.
That's why the rest of you will wait behind me.
Behind us, Major. You can't drive and watch those repressions of yours.
Suit yourself. You know how I feel about volunteers.
Craig climbs into the half-track, a small tank-like vehicle, followed by Bergman. As the vehicle sets off up a steep sandy hill, he stands up, surveying the scene. Guns point to the right and to the left. The wheels and tracks leave deep furrows in the sand.
Stay to the left. Stay to the left!
It's digging in. If it goes any deeper, we're going to blow up your whole theory.
Keep to the high side.
Bergman struggles at the steering wheel as the half-track continues to progress along the sandy terrain. From on high, Craig continues to survey the landscape. He looks at the abandoned vehicles, tyres, and debris below him, and stares intently at the sand formations. A small round dip in the sand catches his attention.
Stop!
Wait here.
My pleasure.
Bergman looks up at Craig and smiles. Craig looks back at him, unsmiling. He clambers over onto the bonnet of the half-track and steps down cautiously onto the sand. Craig gets up. Watched by Bergman, Craig slowly walks away from the half-track, across the windswept, sandy terrain. Tall and imposing, he strides forth, in his left hand a bayonet with a long blade. He walks past some arid vegetation and slows his pace. Presently, he reaches the small circular depression he'd seen from the half-track. He gets down on one knee and slowly pushes the long blade of the bayonet into the sand at one edge of the circle. Probing gently, he pushes up and down, moving the blade onwards within the depression. Bergman lights a cigarette. Harker, Tyne, and the team stare intently at Craig.
He looks so calm, you'd think he was planting daisies. Yeah, you know, one wrong tickle with that bayonet and we'd be pushing up the daisies.
Craig continues to probe at the depression, dipping the bayonet into the sand at a different direction. He then lifts the bayonet out and starts to scoop the sand away with his right hand. The tip of the bayonet meets a hard surface underneath the sand. Bergman looks on apprehensively. The other men stare, transfixed, as Craig, having scooped some sand to one side, proceeds to move the sand, covering the hard surface. He uncovers a tiered circular object sunk into the ground with a flat surface. Craig gets up and puts one hand over his eyes to shield them from the glare. He sees another circular depression in the sand. Craig looks back down at the first depression and walks slowly across the sand away from it. With measured footsteps, he advances towards the second circular dip in the sand. His pace slows as he nears it, and he gets down gently on one knee to examine it. As he does so, Harker raises his binoculars to study Craig's manoeuvres, all the other men still looking on intently. Harker then lowers the binoculars.
Does he expect to dig up the whole damn Sahara on his own? Some mid time.
Sir?
Get some men with bayonets and follow me, will you?
Sir.
Craig proceeds as with the first mine. He scoops away the sand at the rim of the depression to leave an identical structure in the middle. He brushes away the sand from its surface to reveal another mine. He gets up and studies it. A line of men advance towards the half-track.
What have you got your fingers in your ears for? What have you got your fingers in your ears for?
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Then why don't you put your hands over your eyes?
Well, I want to see what's going on, don't I?
Craig walks back to the half-track to meet with Harker and Boyden.
I've got some men coming up.
That won't be necessary. Give that first one a burst, Bergman.
Bergman maneuvers one of the guns on the half-track into position, gets down and fires. Mines explode in front of them.
No!
As the explosions continue, the men dive to the ground, lying face down on the sand. Silence. Craig puts his hat back on. Bergman gets to his feet.
It'll be just our luck to strike oil.
Next one.
As another series of fireballs and smoke ensues, the men below scatter, seeing the explosions advancing towards them.
We can move on down, Colonel.
Major, we can move on down.
They didn't teach us that at Sandhurst, sir.
Look under Bangalore torpedoes, Boyden.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Get cracking! There's a schedule to keep.
The convoy continues across the Sahara, the gusty wind throwing up clouds of swirling sand, creating a dense mist over the military vehicles. The air clears and the winds subside. A bright sun sets on the horizon, casting its strong light across the desert. Silhouetted against the glowing orb, the vehicles continue. The convoy has come to a halt in hilly desert. The half-track has been covered in camouflage netting. Sergeant Major Tyne looks down at a soldier lying on the ground.
All right, boy. Any complaints?
How about some more sugar for the cocoa, Sergeant Major?
You've had your rations and your night. Grub all right?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Tyne looks at his watch, then makes some notes. He moves on from one vehicle to the next. The men have made a fire and sit under cover.
Any complaints?
No, sir.
Grub all right?
Lovely.
How's your arm?
Oh, fine.
Make good use of it, boy.
All right.
Done.
Craig, dressed casually, peers over at Bergman, at work on an engine.
Trouble?
The operation's off.
Oh. You say one thing for the Germans. They certainly know how to build an engine.
Doesn't cost much either when you use slave labor. 200 Jupar, Major.
We all know what's going on in Europe.
But if you do, if you really do, there must be a little of the Jew in you.
Well, they say there's a little of the Jew in everyone.
Yeah. A little of the Nazi, too.
Your war is going to last a lot longer than mine, Captain.
It's 2,000 years old now. For the first time since Jesus, we're beginning to think and feel as a people. The days of the wandering Jew are coming to an end. We're going home.
Palestine?
Israel, Major. Israel. It's where we began. Anyone looking for trouble in the future will know where to find us. Good evening, Major.
Bergman puts on his jacket and belt, picks up his hat, and walks away. Daytime. The convoy has set off once more. The men drive across a changing terrain of rocky hills and sandy rubble. A glowing sun on the horizon illuminates the barren landscape. A small aircraft progresses across a clear blue sky. Suddenly, it swoops down over the convoy. As the plane surges back up, the vehicles veer off to the left and right. Parker.
Take cover!
Absatzen!
The plane swoops down for another volley. One soldier falls to the ground.
The blue bullets will finish!
One casualty is lifted to a truck. Craig looks up to see the plane circle round and descend once more.
Open fire! Mannfeld! Feuer frei!
The men fire at the plane as it swoops down and ascends. A colossal fireball erupts. Most of the men get down on the ground. Yet again, the plane swoops down over the troops. Harker, Craig and others fire at it as it comes within range. As it passes over them and ascends, thick smoke pours from the rear. It descends rapidly and crashes. Not everyone is cheering. Harker is somber.
Sound ready, time!
Ah. Form burial party and see to the wounded.
Sir. You four, over here at the double. Come on, move.
I better be moving as soon as the burial party's finished.
Why waste the time? A few feet of sand won't make any difference.
You heard the order.
That smoke can be seen for miles.
Look, Bergman, if you have any complaints, take them to the colonel. Or find yourself a rabbi.
The two men stare at each other. Sergeant Major Tyne oversees the digging of a large crater in the sand by the four soldiers he has appointed for the task. They quickly shovel out sand. Other men attend to one of the trucks, which is on fire and sending clouds of black smoke into the air. Harker, Craig and Bergman watch a man at work on the radio.
It's no use, sir. It's had it.
The emergency transmitter?
It's dead. It was in lorry 3.
Our orders were not to break silence except in emergency. Cairo will assume we're proceeding as scheduled. Let's see that we do.
The men grab their arms and dive in all directions.
Torre, hold your fire. There's one, there's more.
Wouldn't be the first time they'd attacked a column.
English columns, Colonel. This is German.
Craig.
I'll find out what he wants.
Sergeant, your tunic and cap.
The The sergeant helps Craig on with the tunic. In the distance on a hill, a lone figure sits on horseback, overseeing the Allies' camp below. Craig puts on the cap and buttons up the tunic. Then with arms raised, he advances towards the figure on the horse.
Eshna Mahmed Harit, Ahle Sahara, Ben Harab al-Angalese, Bas.
Andina Siren. Waduna Biaslecha, Lone Salemhum, Lil Aleman.
Craig deliberates, walking back and forth, his hand to his mouth.
They have two prisoners. They want guns.
Blast. We'll have to go along. It wouldn't look right otherwise.
German prisoners. That's all we need.
Craig.
Agree. Cover me.
As Craig slowly advances, the man on the horse begins to descend the sandy hill. Over the brow of the hill, numerous figures on horseback appear.
Look at them. I wish I had my rifle. Oh, I wish I had my camera.
The horsemen line up. Craig reaches their leader.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Azin hab seen bondoaya. Wamitan kartusha. Le kole ahab.
He reaches into a pocket and hands to Craig the passports of the two prisoners he claims to have in captivity.
Hamas banade. Wahamshin hatusha. Kafaya.
Waduna bihamshin.
Mumkin ashara. Besimishaktar.
Ashara. Betamenda. Dame gips taman arwahum.
Trust an Arab to argue.
Enagine lea sleha. Wahana horhum.
The men brandish their rifles.
Akas Kumawi. Ehna Kazalik.
Achtung, Ober Lieutenant Krug.
Under the hoofing, geschoten.
A volley of shots aimed at the line of horsemen.
Ehna, Fintizar, Kararak.
Tayyab.
The passports are flung down on the ground, and the man rides off.
Salam.
Craig stoops to pick up the passports. He stands for a moment and watches them all retreat over the hill. He then makes his way back to the unit. Harker and Bergman come towards Craig.
Well, what was that little display all about?
A bargaining point, Colonel. He settled for 10 rifles and some ammunition.
The prisoners?
British.
Father and daughter. They wanted to be taken to the Germans.
The man and his daughter.
It's absolutely essential we reach Cairo as quickly as possible. If we don't, this campaign, as well as the war itself, will be vitally affected.
You expect me to believe this from someone found wandering in the desert?
Father and I left von Helmstadt's headquarters in Benghazi 3 nights ago.
We were to be dropped outside Cairo and met by resident agents.
Our plane had to make a forced landing. The pilot was killed.
Poor chap broke his neck when we hit. Tribesmen found us the following day.
If you are what you say you are, certainly you agents have some means of identification.
The elderly man in straw hat and linen jacket and young blonde-haired woman look at each other. The man reaches into a pocket concealed in one of his lapels and pulls out a piece of paper.
There, signed by Field Marshal Kesseling, acting for the Führer himself.
Bergman takes the letter.
That paper is an agreement between the Reich and a group of important Egyptian army officers. For certain considerations, they will rise against the British in a holy war at Jeddah.
The letter is passed to Moonfeld.
The signature and seal below are the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem's, one of the most powerful men in the Muslim world. With Egypt on our side, we have every reason to believe the rest of the Muslim world will follow.
Captain, the Turks alone can put 4 million men into the war against Russia.
Exactly. And once Rommel takes Cairo, the army and the Grand Mufti will move against the British.
If you will only contact Benghazi, Captain, they can have a plane here within hours.
Regrettably, our radio was destroyed by a British fighter.
Then you must provide a vehicle and escort us immediately to the nearest base.
Are you presuming, Herr Portman, to give orders to a German officer?
But I explained.
Indeed, you did.
Bergman's eyes narrow.
And now, you will leave the rest to me. Our destination is Tobruk. And that is our nearest base.
The woman glances at the man. Bergman, with cigarette in mouth, turns to Mornfeldt.
Make our guests comfortable, Mornfeldt.
Of course, Captain.
Mornfeldt. Odd name for a German officer.
We can't all be named Schmidt, Fräulein Portman.
She smiles at him. Bergman walks alongside Harker, who has Portman's letter.
We've been aware of an anti-royalist faction in the Egyptian military, but this...
I will do the honors, gentlemen.
That uniform's a disguise, Bergman. Don't carry it too far.
Shooting the girl wouldn't trouble the Nazis, if that's what bothers you, Colonel.
What bothers me is going into action with officers who make rash and thoughtless moves. The Portmans think this is a German column transporting British prisoners. I want them to continue in that belief.
When we reach Tobruk, Colonel, what then?
This paper and the Portmans guarantee our entry.
Is that all, Colonel?
No, Captain Bergman, that is not all. While you serve under me, I will expect you to conduct yourself as a British officer. You will at all times obey my orders, no matter how disagreeable they may seem to you. That is all, Captain.
Bergman looks up at Harker. He straightens and clicks his heels. Then he turns away, watched by a severe-looking Harker.
I can understand his feelings.
You flatter yourself, Major. Their only emotions are based on percentages.
8 men were killed today. 5 of them were Bergman's. How does that fit in with your percentages?
Craig!
Having turned and walked away, Craig now stops. Slowly, he turns round to face grim-faced Harker.
Dismiss.
May I tell you something, Colonel?
You may.
You're a real joy.
A half-smile spreads across Harker's face. In an exaggerated gesture, Craig raises one arm to salute Harker, smiling as he does so. Harker returns the salute. Craig then turns, watched closely by Harker. Against the warm glow of the sun, the sand is blowing in the wind. The convoy of trucks appears in the distance, lit from one side by the sun. Inside one of the trucks, most of the men are sitting, asleep, their heads bobbing around as the truck jolts over the uneven terrain. Harker, looking pensive, sits awake. One young soldier slumps forward and in front of Harker. Time pushes him up.
Come on, let's sit up.
Harker gives a half smile. Dusk. The hills on the horizon take on varying shades of grey against the darkening sky. The convoy continues to pick its way through the desert and scrub. The convoy comes to a halt. Night, a base is set up. SIG troops disperse as they are given orders in German.
Vier, drei, ein, zwei.
A soldier runs towards his superior, who nods an instruction. On the steps of a nearby crumbling building, Henry Portman appears, still attired in linen suit and straw hat. With his hands in his jacket pocket, he surveys the scene and advances towards the officer.
Good evening, Corporal.
The corporal lights a pipe.
I think I'll take a short walk.
Ich spreche kein Englisch.
Ich gehe in etwas spazieren.
Tut mir leid, das ist verboten.
Militärvorschrift?
Ich habe meine Befehle, mein Herr.
The corporal stands, smoking his pipe. Portman stands still next to him. As the pipe smoke disperses in his direction, Portman turns to the corporal.
Schon lange in Afrika.
Jede Unterhaltung auf Posten ist verboten.
Ich verstehe.
Portman turns and walks away slowly. He pauses.
Good night, Corporal.
Gute Nacht.
Portman makes for the door. Harker.
At 1300 tomorrow, we move on to Brook. If all goes well, we should be in position to take the harbour defence guns by 2000 hours. Our attack coincides with a massive raid by the RAF. At 2130, naval units will shell the harbour while assault troops come ashore to link with us. Our primary objectives are the fuel bunkers here.
Colonel, if we can't reach the guns, how do we warn off the Navy?
Jerry has a large transmitter here in the center of the city. Let's hope it won't be necessary.
And if it is necessary, where does that leave us?
We revert to your original plan, Major. Do what damage we can to Rommel's fuel supply and make a run for it.
Well, I don't mind running, but to where? If we're not rescued by sea, we don't get out.
I'm aware of that possibility, Major. That's why we have an alternative pickup down the coast at Salum.
It's a long way to go with the Germans on our backs. If we're captured, it means a POW camp. What about Bergman's men? They can't let themselves be taken alive.
I'm quite sure that Captain Bergman and his SIG gave that very careful consideration before they volunteered. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bergman leaves the tent and walks briskly away. Craig follows him.
Bergman.
Bergman turns to see Craig coming towards him.
I thought you Jews were supposed to be smart.
Enemy propaganda, Major.
Why in the hell didn't you speak up in there?
For what reason? There's no Geneva Convention for us. Begin thinking of death and you're no longer sure of your life. It's a Hebrew proverb.
A dead martyr is just another corpse. What in God's name drives you people?
Perhaps his name is enough.
God and Colonel Harker.
Colonel is a soldier of the old school and has old school attitudes. He doesn't care much for us. We don't care much for him. But he'll be there when we need him. Let's hope they both will. Good night, Major.
Puffing on a cigarette, Bergman turns and walks away. Craig studies him for a few moments. In the nearby building, Portman lies asleep, fully dressed, in a shabby room with bare floorboards. A trapdoor opens in the floor very slowly, and a shadowy, uniformed figure emerges, holding the hatch, which he lays to rest gently on the ground. He then quietly climbs up into the room and makes his way to Portman's slumbering figure. As he approaches him, he produces a gun, which he points at Portman's head. As the gun touches Portman's temple, his eyes open.
Don't turn your head.
Who are you?
A friend.
Then why hide?
Shh. Listen carefully. My life as well as yours is at stake if we are discovered. This column is not what you think, Herr Portman.
You mean Captain Bergman and the others are not German?
Jews, the SIG. Their prisoners are commandos, members of the long-range desert group.
The tobacco. The tobacco that sentry was smoking. Our troops haven't had anything like it since the beginning of the war. Who the devil are you?
That is not important. Your mission is. And these men know about it. You must get word to Tobruk.
But how?
2 kilometers from here, due west. You will find a marker of stones in the sand. Buried in the sand, 6 meters north of that marker, is a telephone cable connecting Jala with Tobruk. Now, turn carefully and look.
Portman turns to see first the gun, and then, as he raises himself a fraction, the shaft in the floor.
In the cistern, you will find a field phone, a pair of camouflage capes, and a weapon.
If all this has been arranged, why haven't you sent for help?
I cannot risk leaving the camp. Once you contact Tobruk, they can have an armored column here within hours.
And if I refuse?
The Iron Cross will still be yours. Posthumously, Herr Portman. Turn back to the wall. Do not move for 30 seconds.
He slowly removes the gun from Portman's temple and walks away from him. Portman moves his head very cautiously in the direction of the man. He sees the trapdoor close as the man disappears underground. Portman lifts himself up and swings his legs round and onto the ground. He stands up. He stoops to reach for a rope handle on the trapdoor and lifts it open and stares into the void. 4 uniformed men advance towards a sentry at the door leading to Portman. The first salutes and walks past the sentry. The second stops to explain his purpose. He too is allowed to pass. Moonfelt is first to enter the room. He sees that Portman is no longer asleep on his makeshift bed. He looks around, then rushes through to an adjoining room. He runs back and emerges into the open.
Portman! Ich wünsche Hauptmannberg und sofort zu sprechen. Störe mit.
Night. Henry and Cheryl Portman walk across the desert, swathed in cloth. As they proceed, they peer around. Portman walks on. His daughter lags a little behind. He stops for a moment. Then they both change direction and make their way towards a small pile of stones. They stop at the pile of stones. Portman turns to one side and begins to take strides across the sand. He takes six large steps, then moves back one. Cheryl joins him and they kneel down on the ground and start to dig with their bare hands. Presently, they unearth a box containing the telephone cable Portman had been told about. Portman and his daughter hurriedly connect the cables and Portman lifts the receiver. As he does so, they are dazzled by light. Portman fires in the direction of a truck full of Italian troops. The Italians return fire, and Portman and his daughter, fatally wounded, slump to the ground. The Italians race over to them.
Un uomo e una donna, signor tenente. Several borghesi.
Borghesi? La donna ancora viva.
They see the telephone equipment.
Un telefono militare.
And Portman's English gun.
Volve inglese. Cosa faranno qui?
Portala nella macchina.
Signor, sì.
Noi stavamo cercando questi due.
Bergman and the SIG men, arms at the ready, walk over to the Italians.
Io sono il tenente Agostino, del 107° distaccamento di comunicazione in rotto Peggiallo.
Capitano Bergman, pattuglia Brandenburger.
Chi sono quelle?
La gente inglese. Presi dagli uomini di Tuareg.
Herenta!
Vorranno parlare con lei in Tobruk.
La ragazza è ferita gravemente, bisogna farla parlare subito.
Sarà fatta così.
Andiamo.
How did they get that telephone?
It's very simple. One among us is the enemy.
The SIG men leave the Italians. Back at the camp, Harker emerges from a tent. The entire SIG unit is assembled.
Oberleutnant. Hauptfeldwebel.
Abteilung. Stillstand.
Order your men to unload their weapons.
Bergman and Harker face each other. Harker looks to one side. He then turns back to face Bergman. He looks him in the eye.
I must refuse to give that order, Colonel.
The Colonel steps towards Bergman and removes the gun from Bergman's uniform. He steps back.
Not a minute of time.
Stop!
Disarm these men.
Stop!
Tyne and the other soldiers work their way around the SIG men, disarming them.
That's more like it. I never did trust him. Once a Jerry, always a Jerry. Once a thief, always a thief. That right, Alfie?
I'll come off it, Nolan. Who else do you think let them spies escape?
The Sergeant Major strips the SIG of their weapons, passing them to his assistants. Harker faces Bergman.
Captain Bergman. You have 2 hours to deliver your traitor.
He turns away from Bergman. Bergman stares at him impassively. The disarming continues. Tyne seated close by, his gun on his lap. Tyne gives a deep yawn and looks down. Cheryl stirs. Cheryl has an anguished expression on her face. Tyne gets up.
Try not to move, miss. There's a plasma tube in your arm.
Cheryl opens her eyes. Tyne makes for the door.
Braithwaite! Sergeant Major.
Get the Colonel. At the double.
In Tyne's absence, a hand removes Cheryl's drip.
Oh!
Tyne turns and rushes back inside. Cheryl's head slumps to one side. As Tyne enters the room, the trap door in the floor closes. He raises her bloody hand.
I'll get the MO.
The sergeant major runs outside, surprising the men sitting and lying on the sand. Inside, a hand pushes the door shut and a chain is fastened across it. The uniformed figure, whose identity is not revealed, then moves across to where Cheryl is lying. He bends across her, taking her head in his hands.
The message. Did you get through? Answer me.
Outside, several men make for the door.
You left her alone?
Sir.
It's bolted, sir. Break it in.
Cheryl is lying motionless on the floor, her eyes open. Tyne turns her so that she is face up.
No one inside, sir.
Sergeant Major?
Sir?
The assistant.
Cyanide. I've seen it often enough.
A gun is passed to Harker, and Craig opens the trap door to reveal blonde-haired and bespectacled Mornfeld. He climbs up a little way, gasping. Bergman and Harker stare.
Ich habe das falsche Luder gefunden. You'll find your spy a little way down the shaft, Colonel.
Who is it?
I don't know. It's very dark down there. I found a sentry at the cistern, stabbed, but the traitor was still in the tunnel. Er ist tot.
He raises a bloody bayonet. Bergman makes for the shaft, torch in hand. Others follow him. Down below in a dark passage, Corporal Bruckner lies with bloody neck and blood trickling from his mouth.
Bruckner. Impossible. I've known him for 10 years.
You said yourself the girl died from cyanide. His suicide tablet's gone.
Harker stares at Bergman. Bergman looks at Bruckner, then raises his eyes. Morning. The men change dress, swapping their uniforms for dress to befit their new roles. Alfie Braithwaite inspects his tunic.
Here, Sergeant Major, look at this. Cool, what a mess. It's a diabolical liberty.
You know what they say, Braithwaite? Lightning never strikes in the same place twice. That tunic could be your lucky charm.
He's got his share of blarney, I can tell you that.
Well, Boyden, what do you think of that?
Very convincing, sir.
Thank you.
Craig flings open the door and stares grimly at the assembled company.
I'd like a word with you, Colonel.
Excuse us, please.
Sir.
The other men leave. Craig closes the door. Round Harker's head is a bandage with mock bloodstain.
All right, Major, get it off your chest and you'll feel better.
Do you realize what'll happen if your men are taken in those uniforms?
They'll be executed.
And that doesn't bother you at all?
It's a calculated and most necessary risk. I've given orders to return ammunition to the SIG. I'm also assigning armed British troops in German uniforms to cover each lorry.
How does Bergman feel about that?
This is not a popularity contest. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks of my actions, least of all a dozen odd Jews. They're all Bruckners when the chips are down.
You pass judgment on people quickly, don't you? Just like that, and heads are supposed to roll. Well, I've never considered dying for a cause, no matter how noble, and I'm not about to begin now.
Frightened, Major?
You may have ice water running through your veins, Colonel, but I have blood, and I need every drop of it. The way I see it, we have two chances of coming out of this, a poor one and a slim one.
Yes, Craig, from the beginning, your boundless enthusiasm has been an inspiration, but I'm getting rather weary of being the cross that you have to bear.
Don't flatter yourself, Colonel. I have trunks full of crosses to bear.
Feeling better, Major? We leave in 10 minutes.
Harker turns to go. Craig swallows as he watches the colonel leave the room. The unit sets forth anew in its convoy of vehicles across the desert scrub. A clear blue sky. The unit leaves the sand and the rough tracks of the desert and travels on tarmac road. In the front vehicle, Craig sits alongside Harker. Bergman stands up. On a wide, sandy track which joins up with the road, a convoy of three-wheeled vehicles appears.
Headhunters. Fear, please.
Bergman sits back down. The motorcycles with sidecars approach the road. Each contains two uniformed men, one driving, the other an armed soldier. The motorcycles join up with the road and come alongside the unit's vehicles. Tynan and a lieutenant direct their weapons at Mornfeld.
Is that necessary, Lieutenant?
I hope not, Herr Oberleutnant.
Alfie cocks his gun.
Sorry, mate. Orders.
A couple of German soldiers on a motorbike and sidecar ride past the trucks, and Dohler aims his gun at one of the SIG men. A convoy of German motorcycle combinations rides past the Allies. One of the bikes rides alongside the lead truck, and Bergman calmly nods at the two men on board. The Germans peer into the truck, then ride on ahead. More German lorries and personnel vehicles come the other way. Craig and Harker, in the back of the lead truck, watch them pass. The German motorbikes overtake the Allies' convoy of fake German trucks. Harker leans forward to the driver.
Keep pace with them, 50 yards back.
The driver looks to Captain Bergman, who nods. The convoy of motorcycles and Allies' trucks approach a checkpoint by a bridge. Craig and Harker sit, stony-faced, as they pass a couple of tanks, with German troops manning machine guns. The checkpoint barrier is lifted, and the motorbikes ride through. Craig, Bergman and Harker all look up at the barrier as they approach and it stays in the air, allowing the Allies' vehicles to drive through. Once the vehicles are passed, the barrier is lowered, and the guard on the checkpoint makes a call. Bergman stands and looks behind him. The motorbikes and genuine German vehicles turn off and ride up a dirt track. The Allies' fake vehicles stay on the main road. Harker and Craig watch the real Germans drive away.
Colonel, this road takes us through Tobruk and then it branches. To the right is a prison compound. To the left is Mercer Cove.
Arms folded, Harker nods. The Allies' vehicles drive into a small North African town. With Bergman's vehicle at the head, they drive through a lively street where local women wash clothes in the fountain, and a squad of German troops marches past. The street is filled with pedestrians, both locals and soldiers. Bergman's truck crawls along behind a local man leading a couple of donkeys loaded with tied-up bundles on their backs. A grey staff car comes in the other direction down the narrow street, forcing the man with the donkeys and all the Allies' trucks to stop. A couple of local men argue. Harker leans over to Bergman.
Well, you're an officer. Clear the way.
German soldiers shove the men and the donkeys out of the way.
Congratulations.
They drive on, taking a left turn. Bergman gives a salute to the staff car. Bergman looks at a building behind them and leans over to Craig and Harker.
The radio tower's behind us.
Harker looks round at a tall, thin transmitter tower sticking up from the roof of a pale stone building. The SIG fake German trucks slowly make their way along the narrow street. Once out of town, the trucks drive along a clear, open road overlooking the sea. Row upon row of German tanks fill a stretch of desert by a roadside. The Allies drive past. Harker, Craig and Bergman stare at the tanks in horror.
Colonel, I think I'd like to put in for a transfer.
German soldiers watch the Allies drive past. Bergman stands up in his seat and rounds on Harker.
Half the Africa Corps. Fox has done it again.
While the British Lion slept.
Gentlemen, the importance of our mission is even graver than staff realized.
That doesn't solve the problem, Colonel.
Our men are going to land expecting light opposition, and they're going to run into Rommel's total reserve strength. They must be stopped. We have to take that transmitter.
And alert, Jerry. For all we know, staff may have scrubbed the mission already.
So we just sit back and wait.
Exactly.
If it has been canceled, we won't have given ourselves away.
What can a handful of men do against two full divisions?
We can try, Major. If those tanks reach El Alamein, the Germans have Egypt.
They may have the lock, but we have the key. Without fuel, Jerry goes nowhere.
Bergman nods.
You don't look too well, Major.
He sits back down.
Not surprised to hear it.
The convoy of phony German trucks carries on along a desert road. They pass a sign reading Mercer, Eintritt verboten, then drive past a quay, where several large ships are docked. Craig and Harker stare at the huge vessels in the dock.
We'll have to have a word with the Admiralty about this. I thought Tobruk was under naval blockade.
Someone forgot to tell the Germans.
They stop outside a compound where military vehicles are parked. A facility has been built into the side of a hill.
There's our objective. Rommel's underground fuel dumps. Easy to see why aircraft had such little effect.
They drive on. Evening has fallen, and the SIG vehicles drive along a dusty desert. Suddenly, spotlights blaze, and they stop. Some German soldiers man the lights. Two more soldiers walk over to Bergman in the lead truck.
Hauptmann, was machen Sie hier?
Transportieren der Gefangenen, Engländer zum Lager.
Papiere bitte.
Bergman turns to his driver, who hands him some papers. He gives them to the German officer, then unfolds a letter, which he also hands over. The officer reads the letter. Major Craig is secretly handed a flick knife by Sergeant Krug. Behind him, the officer looks up at Bergman.
Das 372. Infanteriebataillon ist nach Derna verlegt worden.
Ja, ja, wurden abkommandiert für dieses Kommando.
Aber Sie sehen, das hier ist militärisches Sperrgebiet.
Na und?
In ein paar Minuten kann das vom Hauptquartier bestätigt werden.
Suddenly, a couple of SIG pounce on the soldiers working the lights and stab them. Bergman and Craig leap off the truck and grapple with the other two Germans, finally overpowering and killing them. Bergman and Craig climb back aboard their truck and the convoy drives on. An armoured gun emplacement is built into the side of a rocky cliff. Soldiers patrol the walkways, looking out over the ocean. The SIG are gathered on the clifftop, and Craig runs over to Bergman and Harker, who lie on their stomachs, looking down at the gun emplacement.
We've located their communications cable. The bunker can be cut off from the city anytime.
Two German motorcycle combinations arrive at the foot of the cliff. The riders get off and walk towards two armored pillboxes.
While we go for the guns, two detachments will take out those pillboxes.
Harker, Bergman and Craig look up to see a squadron of planes flying overhead in two V formations. Bergman checks his watch.
Right on schedule. And right into a meat grinder.
Craig runs back to the Allies and calls over to one of the SIG.
Oi! The air raid recover. Take what men you need and go for the JA transmitter. Send an open signal to Cairo. Cancel landing. Repeat cancel landing and advise staff of the Kesselring paper.
Yes, sir. Colonel Harker, if Lieutenant Boyden should be stopped, he doesn't speak German.
Volunteering, Manfeld.
It would improve his chances, sir.
Harker gives him the nod. Harker looks towards the shoreline and sees searchlight beams sweeping through the sky and small explosions bursting across the seafront. The planes release their payload and the bombs explode on the town below them. Soldiers with hoses try to quell the flames in burning buildings.
Any luft at home? Back man here! Platz machen! Hush, Wagen, Herr, marsch! Los!
An SIG truck drives through the town, with Lieutenant Mornfeld standing up in the front. Suddenly, an explosion stops them, and another blows a crater in the road that the truck falls into. An explosion hits the transmitter tower, which breaks and tumbles onto the rooftop. Lieutenant Mornfeld lies unconscious across the tipped-over truck. Inside, Dolan reaches over to him, then climbs out of the vehicle. He clears away some rubble from on top of dazed Alfie.
Hey, are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm lovely. Let's do it again.
That's more like my boy. Come on.
He pulls Alfie to his feet, and they look down at lifeless Corporal Bruckner.
Sir? He's dead.
Dolan and Alfie walk round to Moonfeld's side of the truck.
Hurry, Alfie, they'll be all over us in a minute. Lift him up.
All right. I open the door.
They lift unconscious Moonfeld off the vehicle.
Got him?
Yes.
Quick, in here.
They carry Moonfeld away.
Raus alle, raus der Konzern wieder! Das ist doch ein Engländer, warum schießt denn der auf uns?
Down, Alfie!
They hide in a bombed-out building as Germans run by.
Cool, that was a whisker away.
What do we do now, Alfie?
Good question, mate. First of all, unload these Jerry uniforms. My mother didn't bring me out to be shot as a ruddy spy.
Lord, love us! What's the matter? Are you hurt?
I'm dead and gone to heaven, Dolan. Look in there!
Stacks of money litters the floor.
Here, look. English pound notes. Millions of them.
British paymaster wrappers, Alfie. The Jerrys must have grabbed it when they took the brook from our boys.
Well, we'd better grab it back, haven't we?
They stuff their tunics, then stop as a gun points at them.
Here, now, wait a minute. You got it wrong. We weren't going to nick this money.
They're gunned down and collapse onto the money. Craig and Harker watch the explosions along the dark coastline.
We're up next, Major.
Craig walks away and Harker follows him. On the clifftop, the Allies prepare for battle and Bergman runs across to Harker.
It's 21:30. Do you think Boyden got through?
They all look across at heavy artillery blasts on the horizon. Battleships fire shells onto the coastline. Soldiers in the gun emplacement spring into action.
Landing is still on. The barges are coming in.
Submit down. Take the half track and four men up the approach road. Use the oil lamp to turn those barges back. Keep flashing as long as you can, Jack. It's our last chance.
Sir?
Sergeant Major Tyne cocks his rifle and moves out with a squad of men. The gun emplacement fires heavy artillery at the battleships. Allies throw ropes over the side of the cliff, while others, including Craig and Harker, climb rungs, leading them onto the roof of the gun emplacement. They throw ropes down over the front of the emplacement. Nearby, a hole has been dug in the dry dirt of the clifftop to reveal a thick cable. The cable is severed with bolt cutters, and the rest of the squad is given the thumbs up. They set about abseiling down the front of the emplacement on their ropes, the vast enemy guns blasting away right beside them. Some allies abseil to the foot of the emplacement, while others, including Bergman and Craig, swing onto the walkways. They ready their guns and prepare to storm the emplacement. Inside, an Italian soldier is talking on a telephone.
Pronto, pronto!
Come vai?
La linea norte, signore!
Prego, siamo!
Tanto, io ho le macchine di protezione!
Senta! Le sue linee sono interrotte.
A soldier opens the door and Craig fires a flamethrower.
Satchel charge!
Craig runs around a corner and throws the charge. Bergman and Craig run out of the control room and down the metal stairs as the charge goes off, sending a vast ball of fire billowing out past the heavy guns. Craig takes off his flamethrower. One of the guns is still firing, and a squad of men with Harker try to get close enough to machine gun the operators. Harker and one of his men take cover in a doorway.
Veripistol, sir!
Harker steps back from the doorway and fires the veripistol, sending a flare right into the gun operator's area. He then throws a satchel charge, and he and his colleague run clear as the explosion blows out the door. They come back to find the door blasted off and a small fire burning in the dark operator's area.
Good try, sir.
Seems to have lost the old magic, what?
Regroup below!
SIG men run over to one of the pillboxes.
Every place!
A soldier comes out and is knocked out by a hand grenade.
Heil Hitler!
Sergeant Krug throws the grenade into the pillbox, and a couple of Italian soldiers scramble out as it explodes. At the foot of the emplacement, Craig looks out at the ocean and sees the battleships getting closer.
Kill Harker!
Hey?
They're coming in.
Get down to the beach! They're going to need all the help they can get!
Cover!
The Allies swarm down the rocky coastline. Sergeant Major Tyne signals to the ships with a red-tinted flashlight. A couple of British soldiers are in a truck on the clifftop.
Jerry!
They ready a heavy machine gun as German tanks approach.
Half-track, open fire!
They blast away at the tanks, gunning down several German soldiers on foot. The Germans seem to be taken by surprise and are slow to respond. A blast opens up a crater in the clifftop, and one of the SIG trucks drops into it. British soldiers run to the truck, but are blown off their feet by a shell blast. A man on the turret of a tank fires a machine gun, and Tyne is shot in the chest. Craig and Bergman look out at the ships.
They're turning back. Your Sergeant Major got through.
Thank God.
German tanks fire at the Allies on the beach.
Take cover under the cliffs!
The Allies run for cover, many of them being caught in the blast of shell explosions. Soldiers help a fallen comrade to his feet. A small group of Allies takes cover behind a rock.
Bloody tanks!
They would have chopped our barges to pieces!
The Allies shoot up at the German tanks with machine guns.
Fire, Anton!
A couple of German soldiers run over to their commanding officer on the cliff edge.
Sie sitzen fest. Wir schießen nur, wenn sich was rührt. Wir warten, bis die Verstärkung kommt.
On the ground, Harker yells over at Craig.
We're just not going anywhere with those damn tanks up there.
They've pinned us here until their infantry moves in.
Taking cover behind a large rock, Bergman looks around and spots two abandoned motorcycle combinations standing nearby. He takes off his cap, nudges Krug, and points up to the clifftop. Bergman darts over to Harker.
I think I can get up there, Colonel.
He points to the motorbikes, and Craig crawls over to him.
Still determined to be a martyr, aren't you?
I never did believe we'd get through to Salome. Besides, German hospitality does not appeal to me.
You pull those tanks and I'll give you the fuel bunkers as a going-away present.
Best off I've had all day. Crook, I'll take three men. The rest of you stay here with Major Craig.
Sergeant Crook nods.
Shalom.
Shalom, Captain.
Crook salutes him.
I wish you luck, Bergman. I mean it.
We're both going to need a colonel. But don't steal any of mine. Flammenwerfergruppe!
Mazel tov.
Bergman looks back at Craig and smiles, then nudges a couple of his men and darts over to the motorbikes. The rest of the Allies give him covering fire, shooting several German soldiers on the clifftop. Bergman and another of his men ride around the foot of the cliff on the motorbikes, each carrying another soldier in the sidecar. The soldier in the rear sidecar is blasted out by a shell explosion.
Hey, jump!
They're coming down!
German infantry start abseiling down the cliff on ropes, and the Allies open fire on them. Both sides suffer casualties, with Allied soldiers being shot on the beach and German infantry being picked off while climbing down the ropes. Bergman and two of his men have made it onto the clifftop and run over to a German lorry. They take cover in the shadows as a tank approaches. Bergman grabs a satchel charge, runs in front of the tank and drops onto his back, allowing the huge armoured vehicle to drive right over him. He grabs onto the tank's underside and is pulled along for a short distance as he hooks the satchel charge onto the chassis. Bergman lets go of the tank and leaps away as it explodes.
Achtung! Rückendeckung!
The German CO yells at his men. Bergman runs back to his two comrades.
Flammenwerfer!
Troops run to the tank.
Nachhutdecken!
Bergman and his men run out from behind the truck, Bergman wearing a flamethrower and his men carrying their guns. Bergman's men open fire on the Germans, and Bergman blasts them with the flamethrower. German soldiers kneel down to aim at Bergman, who shoots a sheet of flame onto them. Craig and Harker look up at the clifftop, and Harker nods to a corporal.
All right, lads, hit the double!
Harker and some British troops run around the foot of the cliff. Craig and a few more men set off in the other direction. On the clifftop, Bergman and his men are still on the offensive with guns and flamethrower. A couple of German soldiers get a shot off at Bergman, hitting him and rupturing the tank of his flamethrower. Fire engulfs Bergman and he collapses. More German soldiers appear from behind the burning tank and gun down Bergman's men.
Oberleutnant!
The CO marshals his men.
Arbeitslos! Die andere Gruppe abschneiden!
They head off in a truck. The Allies swarm up the sloping coastline towards the clifftop, led by Colonel Harker. Standing up in the truck, the German CO waves to some more of his men in tanks and on foot.
Los, vorwärts! Wir werden nicht weit kommen! Unter zum Schadenkurs!
Major Craig, Sergeant Krug, and a couple more Allies hide behind a rock and watch a lone tank.
Gotta take that tank.
My pleasure.
No. Let me have that.
Craig takes the hand grenade and tries to unscrew it.
That tank operational. Field knife.
Craig's handed a large field knife, which he uses for leverage to unscrew the top of the grenade. He hands the knife back to Krug, takes off the top of the grenade, and pours out the gunpowder. He screws the top back on and smiles at Krug. Craig and the men keep low as they run across the clifftop to the tank. Craig climbs onto the tank behind the machine gunner and knocks him out, then pulls out the grenade's pin and drops it through the hatch into the tank.
Commander!
The soldiers inside scramble out. whereupon they are quickly knocked out by Craig and the SIG men. Craig climbs into the tank's turret area and readies its huge gun. Krug's behind the controls and steers the tank across the cliff top. Harker and his men jog up a pathway towards the cliff top and see some more German tanks up ahead. They run for cover as shell explosions burst all around them. Many soldiers are hit, but others make it to cover and fire at the Germans on the cliff edge. Two soldiers patrol the main gates of the compound housing the fuel bunkers. All is quiet, and they look round as a tank approaches the perimeter fence. Inside is Craig and his men.
Hard left, Sergeant! Take her through!
Krug swerves the tank round and crashes the main gates. An SIG man on the tank's machine gun shoots a couple of soldiers in the compound and a couple more manning an anti-aircraft gun. He slides back down to Craig.
88 on the left!
Let's get it!
Ready.
Craig fires a shell, blowing up the whole anti-aircraft placement.
Ready.
He fires another, blowing up a fuel truck. Then a couple more shells, destroying more German vehicles. The compound is on fire, and German soldiers run to escape the flames.
Pump station, off to the right!
Craig fires a shell, which hits a pipe on one of the vast fuel storage vats. Fuel pours out and is immediately ignited, sending a blazing plume across the compound. Craig's tank drives underneath the fountain of flames and fires another shell, hitting more fuel containers, which explode.
Sie sind in eine Sackgasse geraten!
The gunfight between Allies and Germans continues at the cliff. At the cliff edge, the German CO barks orders. His men line the cliff edge on their stomachs, firing down at the Allies on the rocky beach. Craig's tank rolls relentlessly through the blazing compound. Craig swings the gun round towards an enormous fuel tank the size of a large building.
We'll hit the top level first and then work our way down.
Craig fires a shell, rupturing the side of the fuel tank. Fuel gushes out and pours down a slope. Craig blasts a hole in another fuel tank, and the fire in the compound catches the flammable liquid. Huge orange flames race up the slope and engulf the tanks. Craig fires another shell, puncturing a third tank, which spits burning petrol over trucks and buildings. Craig shoots again, rupturing a fuel pipe and sending out yet more clouds of fire. The compound is now an inferno, and Craig sends another shell into a fuel tank on a high ridge above the fire. Soldiers run for their lives as explosions erupt all around the compound.
Get us out of here, Sergeant, before we blow up with it!
Sergeant Krug steers the tank round. More explosions billow around the compound. Fuel gushes over a parked lorry, and clouds of flame burst up into the air. An explosion hits the tank side on, tipping it over onto its side. Craig and his men scramble out of the tank, sheer walls of fire blazing around them. They just get free as another explosion engulfs the tank in flames. At the cliffside, Colonel Harker and the others see vast sheets of fire billow up over the horizon.
Good Lord!
Wir haben es doch geschafft.
The
With any luck, we've seen the end of Rommel's push to the Soviets.
Colonel Harker, your continued resistance will only result in a futile loss of lives. I ask you to surrender.
He knows your name, sir.
And our situation. We've done what we set out to do.
Harker unfolds a sheet of paper and sets it on fire with his lighter. Craig and his men clamber over the hilltop and run down toward the beach, fire filling the sky behind them. Harker and his men stand up and raise their hands as German tanks and men surround them. Harker saunters down to the German CO and gives a sharp salute. The CO salutes back.
My compliments, Colonel.
I have your assurance that our wounded will receive prompt medical care.
The best we can provide.
As soon as you surrender the Kesselring document, Colonel Harker.
Harker looks up in shock at the man beside the CO.
Mannfeld.
The name is von Krüger.
Von Krüger, need I remind you of protocol?
This is an intelligence matter.
And it wasn't Bruckner.
What I told you was the truth, with one slight alteration. The Jew found me in the tunnel. The paper, please.
As soldiers, we have few saving graces. Perhaps our willingness to die for what we believe is all that matters.
He shoots Moonfeld and is shot.
Feuerhalten!
Harker slumps forward onto the sand. It is daytime, and Craig and the three SIG men run across the beach in their crumpled uniforms. They come to the top of a sandy ridge and see a naval ship in the distance and a landing craft heading towards the beach. They wave their arms and run towards the craft. The end. ITFC audio description.